Hey everybody, this episode contains discussion of murder, suicide, child death, and grislier topics. If those topics don't sound like something you want to listen to today, that's totally fine. We'll see you next episode.
How are we going?
Into podcast.
You know, technically, I was right. John Frobisher's daughter and his wife did leave this earth.
I was biting my tongue so much when you were saying that. Being like, why can't
I? Oh, man. I wish I wasn't right, but I was right.
Okay. Hello. I'm eating chocolate. Excuse me. Day five, more like.
To cheer yourself up.
A little bit of mambo number five. Yeah.
I gotta start. You gotta do the gist, right? You gotta do the gist because I got so much to say. I just watched this.
I'm gonna chew my chocolate.
Don't chew your chocolate. Come on.
I like chocolate.
People hate it when podcast hosts eat all the recording.
I mean, we've at least one of us has eaten breakfast.
I used to drink
a lot of water and it sounded like I was pissing.
Good point, actually.
Day five broadcast on the 10th of July, 2009. Written by Russell T. Davies. Written by Euroslin. The gist is that Gwen... Written by Euroslin. This is an earthen virus by my tongue. Just that Gren records a testimonial suggesting the doctor doesn't help with stuff like this because he's so deeply ashamed of what we've done.
I don't buy that. Yeah. I don't like that answer. I will accept that as an answer. That is better than what I had before, which was an answer.
He records his posterity, basically. The government launches their scheme to hand over kids, and then the 4, 5, 6 are like, we want kids because they make us high. We smoke the good cheap that is. Kids. Jack's like, we can't win, so you know we're kind of fucked. There's no way forward. And he like holds on to a lot of guilt over, you know, Yanto's death. They arrest Lois. Gee, Lois, you think that's bad? Remember you were arrested for espionage? And then Alice and her son are like released from custody or whatever. Jack is then taken into custody as well. Frobisher's kids are chosen as part of the 10%. Frobisher's like, hey, Prime Minister, I will ruin you. And he's like, well, your kids are going to be taken either way, John, you know. So what does Frobisher do? He requisitions a gun, goes home, kills his family, and then kills himself.
Jesus Christ.
Bridget goes to Lois in prison and is like, I need you to know John Frobisher was a good man. He was a good man. Well, Gwen goes and tells Yanto's family about his passing and then tries to warn them about, like, you know, your kids are going to be taken. At which point the government comes to take the kids away. Panic begins to break out. The Black Ops basically break Jack out of the prison and ransack Decker's office. One of the true heroes, no longer horned up, PC Andy, tries to fight back against the army.
PC Andy! I loved it when he showed up and he took off his jacket. I straight up cheered. I was like, you know what? Give this man 1,000 box sets. He deserves it. That moment is the moment he deserved it.
he tries to fight back, and Gwen and the others take the kids into hiding, and that's when she records the video. The 4, 5, 6 want more kids. Jack realizes that like the link to Clem hurt the 4, 5, 6. That's why they had to kill him. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna use that frequency against them. The only way he can do this, however, is to use his grandson, which kills him in the process. But guarantees that the 4, 5, 6 basically runs away in like pure agony. Alice like visibly disowns Jack, and then like a state of pure grief, Jack just disappears. Well, Bridget reveals to the Prime Minister and the other lady who was, you know, quite horrible yesterday, that the reason she would go see Lois in prison was to get the contact lenses to record everything. Mm-hmm. And she vows to basically release the tapes and ruin his reputation for good as payback for what happened to John Frobisher. 6 months after this event, a visibly pregnant Gwen and Reese go and meet Jack, who's like, I'm leaving. And Gwen's like, you can't leave. Like, you fucked this up. And like, you know, we're still healing. He's like, well, you know, I'm going to run away. And he runs away, which signals the end of Torchwood. There's a whole lot of kind of fucked things to get through.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, let's talk about the most fucked up thing, which is the tape at the start, which is the explanation as to why the doctor didn't save the day. I'm joking. I think it's... I don't think it's that good of an answer, because it's like... There's worse things humanity has done that the doctor has kind of been okay with. But you know what? I actually like that they gave an answer, and I'm glad about that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Frobisher.
Frobisher. So that scene is...
From the moment that the PM brings him into the room and says, your kids are going to be taken, and you're going to smile and wave to the camera, to the moment that he does the thing that he does, it is probably like... Honestly, that was the moment I was like, you know what? Any complaints I'd had wiped away. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That was worth it. And he was a great antagonist. It was a great performance. And it's a great scene, especially because after he gets home, he doesn't say a word. You don't hear him. You don't hear what he says. You don't hear what he says himself to the people around him. But Capaldi manages to convey so much through visual acting when he pulls out the gun and his hand is like shaking considerably. Mm-hmm. That was the moment that went like, oh fuck, like that. Oh, that's when the moment I realized what he was doing. And the shot of him walking in, closing the door behind him. And honest to God, I know they had to, so that people knew what was going on. It kind of felt to me like they didn't want to put the gunshots there. To just like, just leave it open to you, like what you think he did. Cause, but like that, whatever, that whole scene was just like so good. It was so good. It was justified. It explains why you hire someone like Peter Capaldi. It justifies this entire plot line. It feels like a natural conclusion to like what you said yesterday about how Capaldi felt like the only person who like felt bad for what they were doing, visibly didn't want to do it. It was just really, really good. I think everything about that works really well. What do you think?
I do too. I think Capaldi in this entire like miniseries, I think, is one of the best performances, matched in part by the performance he'll give in for us 4 years from now, but in real time, like actually in real time, like 5 years from now. I think it's so like, as you said, like the minute when he walks in and like the Prime Minister can't even look at him, and he's like, you know, you're the fall guy here. Like you're being like your kids will be taken, and you will be like set up to be, you know, the smiling face for the whole thing. You know, it feels very kind of like in part a kind of reaction to Frobisher, you know, kind of hiding the thing. I just think it's such a great effective moment, and certainly like dramatically, I think the high point of this, cause we'll get to something else in a second. I'm kind of, it's the bit that doesn't really stick with me. But I think it's such a great moment, and it's just, as you said, it's, you know, one of the best performances. The thing that doesn't really work for me, I think it one of the problems I have with it, actually, we'll say everything. Let's just address like the other kind of fuck thing. That, well, one of the other fuck things in this, which is that the reveal that the 456 are basically smoking as, the kids to get high, yeah. And that's
which is what they were. Yeah, so, does that imply that the whole splat things they do is them getting it's off? Them
from, that or they're just like tweaking. I don't know. It kind of it brings into question as well whether like their threats were actually like real or they're just.
I think
like,
the
know,
threats were not real. Yeah. That's the thing. We this goes into the conversation about what happens at the end, but the fact that you know. It kind of clicked into place for me when Gwen referred to it as a protection racket in like episode 3 2 days ago. But the moment that he dies, the ambassador dies, and they immediately like take the body away and just leave, it kind of dawned on me like there's a high chance that actually they did not have the threat to back up. They did not have the manpower to back up their threat, which is why. I hate to harp on this, but if they had explained how they unleashed a virus in Tham's house, that could have been a point of conversation in this episode. There could have been somebody being like the only place they attacked is the place we gave them access to. How do we know that they can do more than this? You know, like kind of dig a little bit deeper into the uncertainty around them. But what matters at the end of the day is just reflecting that like all it took for these people to cave was just these guys coming in. And speaking through the children, what is essentially "quote unquote" a parlor trick, you know? And the moment that somebody figured out how to use the parlor trick against them, they just vanished away. So I think it was a protection racket. I think that's what it was.
I think what makes them like really interesting villains as well. That like that whole thing of like you know they're just kind of they're basically like bullying. Humans and exposing how like stupid everyone has been to just kind of blindly follow along with the idea that like just because these guys are showing up they've got the juice, you know. I think it's really interesting. The other thing we'll talk about, the other fucked up thing, and it's maybe the thing that doesn't really work for me on a whole. Obviously it wasn't bananas that took out the 456, as you predicted. It was Jack's grandson.
Yeah.
I think the problem with me is it's what we've talked about before, that like because Alice and Steven have been dropped into this, you know, starting from day one rather than from like before, and how like they've rarely been shown, how like you don't really get a feel for them. To me, it doesn't really, you know, obviously it's horrifying that like Jack will just willingly use this kid to do this, but like it just like.
But we've met this kid. Yeah, we met this kid 5 days ago.
Yeah, yeah. It just doesn't really like land for me as like a character beat, as like an emotional beat. Yeah. It's really affecting and really really horrible. But like in the context of the show,
you're not going, kinda, you know, oh my god, they killed Steven. You're going, oh my god, I can't believe Jack did this. Which is a smart decision. It does work really well in the moment, and Barrowman acts the shit out of that moment, but it is it's like the perfect version of this beat would have hit 100%, whereas this version hit 50%, 60%, which is still a very strong amount of to hit. But there's still a part of you that goes like, if these two characters had been part of the show for a long time, like Yanto was, people would have been like fucking collapsing in tears. Right? I mean, there's this reason why the big death in the series isn't Steven. It's Yanto, you know? Like, nobody is going to whatever they shot that and putting a memorial to Steven last name. No offense to this fictional kid who Memorial died, Bearhouse. But everyone's doing it for Yanto, you know? It as a moment of works again, I think more and more that his daughter is trying to act like Gillian Anderson, especially in this episode. There's just moments where I was like, she's doing a Gillian Anderson face, and I don't know. Maybe this is just me. If you think she also looks like Gillian Anderson, please contact me because I need to know if I'm not insane.
I do like that one scene she has with the Black Ops lady, where you know she's like she's basically saying like you cannot justify like any of the plans that they have, even if you want to. Like, even if it helps you, like, get forward, you still cannot, like, justify the idea that, like, you will enter into a new world that's been born off the back of, like, innocent kids being taken by, like, the people you're meant to trust and stuff. And I think that seems really interesting. I don't know, PC Andy? There's PC Andy, he's in this.
PC Andy's great. Yeah. I just want to say one last thing about the death of Steven. It's not a banana, but no. It is definitely a fruit situation where they're like, how do they kill Clem? And it works because Clem technically died last episode, and it's only been like, what, 6 hours since it happened? But it's a new thing, and they figured out how to use a new thing. But it did feel minimally bananas. So I will call it not a banana, but definitely a fruit solution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this makes sense.
A raspberry.
A raspberry. I would call it a raspberry solution because the instant they were like, how did they kill Clem? I'm like, here we go. And now we're going to figure out the thing that they couldn't see. Which at the same time, it's like, again, could know them. No, it works. There's like 10% of it that I'm like, eh. But it doesn't matter to me. I think the thing as a whole is really, really good. I want to talk about something I read, which I think is incredibly insane, which is that Russell T. Davies suggested that because Frobisher is played by Peter Capaldi, who also played Caecilius, he thought that Frobisher's killing of his family brings closure to the saving of Caecilius' family in Fires of Pompeii. And then Stephen Moffat confirmed this by saying that his suicide was Time's way of reasserting itself. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. This is the kind of stuff you say like when you're hanging out with your friends and you're like, you know, I'm pretty sure that like because it's the same actor, right? And everyone laughs and nobody thinks about it after that. You don't say that in your show's documentary, behind the scenes documentary. It's insane. Yeah. Come on, man. Like
it's very Screen Rant. Top five Doctor Who fan theories.
It's very Glubshitto. Yeah. It's very Glubshitto too. It's like, oh man, because they're did you know? Because he is played by the same actor. That means he is from the same family. Come on, man. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Before we get to PC Andy, just being the Glubshitto, Decker gets that fucking he's gonna fly. He turns into the Joker for most of this episode, which is
They should have shot Decker.
They should just walked in, grabbed the
after phone, after they Decker. Say yeah after they saved the day. You also should have just turned and shot Decker in the face, like, and you're dead. You don't get to live.
But yeah, PC Andy gets the big hero scene of him being like, okay, I gotta do something, rip off my shirt and immediately get fucking destroyed, but at least I tried. The whole thing, like the scene with Yanto's family, where they're like, you know, you don't know who Yanto is, you didn't know who Yanto is, like you can fuck off, because like, you know, it's a really interesting like portrayal that instant moment of grief that like they just won't, you know, they also not going to trust Gwen and stuff. Yeah, it's just like there's a lot of just stuff like Jack's response to everything, to like, being I'm going to like travel the world for 6 months, and then literally the second I meet my best friend, I'm gonna tell her that like I can't stay here anymore because I'm still too fucked up.
Like, yeah, I don't get why they put the 6 months thing. It felt more like him leaving was like an immediate reaction to what he did. Like I and I'm out, you know. It is the most doctory thing he has done. Leave. So
to immediately, yeah.
But yeah, I don't get why they did the 6 months later thing. I guess they just wanted to show Gwen's pregnant. Was Eve Miles pregnant?
I don't think she was. I don't know if she was or not.
So this wasn't necessary. Yeah. Got it.
No. I guess it kind of adds to like. Well, it doesn't like. You get like that one discussion where like she's kind of considering like getting rid of the baby because.
Yeah, that one comes out of nowhere. It's like we do not have time to talk about this.
Yeah,
you know what that felt like? It felt like they were like, "We gotta give Gwen something to do because she really does nothing in this in these next moments." It's
she
like
she records a vlog.
Yeah, she records a vlog and she takes people to other places, but then that's kind of it. She doesn't do much more. Anyway,
I don't know.
Yeah,
there's the thing that made me laugh. Was at the end when Bridget's been like, you know, Mr. Prime Minister, you're cancelled. That one shot of Lois explaining how to use the contact lenses to Bridget felt very like people like
when she minds know, putting it into the ear.
Yeah. And Bridget's like, yes, of course.
And she's like, putting it in the eye, huh? You're telling me you put this contact lens in the eye? Got it.
It's such a like depressing. I hate when people like are like, oh, this is so depressing when something's like not that sad, but like this is like genuinely harrowing.
Yeah,
like television. I will admit I'm kind of glad that we're done with it because
what are we watching next? We're watching Sarah Jane Adventures.
Let me tell you exactly what we're doing next. Okay, we're watching we'll call them episodes. We know they're serials. Episodes 1 to 3 of Sarah Jane Adventures series 3. Okay, so we got that. After that, this is when the chaos factor kicks in. Okay, because after those three, we're watching K9 Red Regeneration. One of the K9 TV show.
Oh yeah.
After that, we're watching episodes 4 to 5 of the Sarah Jane Adventures. You know what we're watching after that? Waters of Mars.
Oh yeah.
After that, we're watching the finale of Sarah Jane Adventures Series 3. And then we're doing Dreamland because Dreamland is an Infinite Quest situation wherein it was, you know, a serialized thing and then it was an omnibus. So we'll go by the omnibus because it's a completed version. And after that, we are at long last at the end of time, parts 1 and 2. I think we should do an episode on part 1 and an episode on part 2 rather than doing them together because I think there's so much that happens in both that I think it's probably going to be better to space them out a bit.
I disagree because it's one story.
It's one story, but it's one story.
I agree on the condition that we the only way I'll do this is if we release the first part in Christmas and the second part on New Year's.
Well, we'll do that. And also, we're not sure yet if we're doing a specials wrap up or we're doing a Russell T. Davies era.
I mean, by that point, he will have come back, right?
He will.
You know, I just got to say something. We both think that Eve Miles is in like a RTD2 spinoff, right? We agree on that, right?
Yeah. I think if she's in anything, she's in Unit, which is a bit of an odd kind of, you know, it's a bit like, you know, you have all these like characters left over. Where do you put them? Oh, throw her into Unit. I will admit, I was more confident months ago than I am now. Like, I think Freema again. I'm like, she's doing like network TV in the States, and also like, you know, the American, you know, entertainment model right now is completely fucked by the studios on.
As we record this, the strikes are still going.
Mm-hmm. And here's hoping that
by the time it's released, the writers have gotten everything they deserve.
They better, and the actors.
Yeah.
But I don't think Freema Agyeman is... I still think Freema's going to be leaving network TV for streaming, wherein, you know, that contract's going to be kind of, like, pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Because like if they're making a spin-off, it's being made for it'll be the first one that's being like made specifically for
Disney Plus,
yeah, and like Britain probably gets it on like BBC3 or something.
Remember when we did our alternative universe where Doctor Who's American, and we were like, and then Disney bought ABC and they Disney Plus TV shows for Doctor Who, and one of them was Torchwood. Can you imagine if that happens?
It would have been right, but they will never ever do that. I think if we end up doing an RTD first era wrap up, that's one that we kind of have to approach in a way that is similar to that episode, because I think, you know, I don't know if we have the energy to rank every single episode that we've watched in the last.
They kind of mix together for me. I don't think there's a difference between them. Enough of a difference.
We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out to do, because I think, you know, there's probably something to be said about, like, even if we just compare, like, something, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. I need to go to sleep because I want to dream of better things. This was so much for me.
Well, give me an upbeat song to go out. What's an upbeat song? Don't Worry, Be Happy.
And I woke up today.
Song for 10.
And the kids were being abducted.
Okay, this is what we'll do. We'll bring back your cover of Song for 10 from like.
The last parting thought I'll give Children of Earth is I'm glad I watched it. I do think it is one of the best Torchwood and Doctor Who things. I don't think it's as good as some people say it is. I think there's some moments of it that are kind of like, they're kind of like rushing past certain questions to get to the big drama, but you know, it all comes together perfectly and I can't complain. If you land that, that at the end of the day, what matters is that if you manage to land that plane successfully, no one's going to remember that your takeoff was off out of a rickety bridge right into a cliff. You know, that at the end of the day, that's what matters.
It's kind of weird as well, I guess, just quickly, that like at the time, I guess, for all intents and purposes, this was it for Torchwood. There was no sign that Miracle Day was a thing that was going to happen. Russell was obviously leaving.
Oh, it should have ended. I have never seen Miracle Day, and I will definitely say it should not be a thing, because this is the perfect ending for Torchwood.
But this was until 2011 it. And our next journey into Doctor Who was, I guess, it wasn't seen as the last Sarah Jane series, but it was the last Sarah Jane series of the Russell era. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well. But yeah, that's about it. This is from the archives, your cover of Song for 10. I think this was probably 2 years ago now, because this was probably recorded when we were doing
Better Days, when we were not all depressed. Children of Earth.
when I was recording in the other room, and we were doing like silly stuff. We were doing like 5 key points, and actually, this was after 5 key points. But yeah, that's it, and we'll see you again. Maybe not next week. We might take some time off because we just recorded 5. Consecutive things.
God, and we really need a time off. Like Captain Jack, we are getting into a giant spaceship and never coming back.
We might do another quiz episode or something, just as a thing at some point down the line. But you know, until we say otherwise, goodbye.
Well, I woke up today, and the world was a restless place. It could have been that way for me. And I wandered around, and I thought of your face, that Christmas looking back at me. I wish today was just like every other day, 'cause today has been the best day, everything I ever dreamed. And I started to walk, pretty soon I would run, and I'll come running back to you, 'cause I followed my star, and that's what you are. I've had a merry time with you. Whoa. I wish today was just like every other day, 'cause today has been the best day, everything I ever dreamed. have a good life, do it for me. Make me so proud like you want me to be. Wherever you are, I'm thinking of you. Oceans apart, I want you to know. La la la. You're on the other side. Our time will never come again. But if you can still dream, close your eyes and we'll see that you can see me now and then. Whoa, I wish today was just like every other day. 'Cause today has been the best day, everything I ever dreamed. I wish today was just like every other day. 'Cause today has been the best day, everything I ever dreamed.